2 weeks. But Rabbi Kahn discussed this Rambam on Emunah and Yediyah, about how important Emunah is in light of Hanukkah. So I thought maybe we would continue that topic as well. In fact, the importance of discussing Emunah, I think, in today's world is, you know, I suppose in every generation people struggle with Emunah in their own way, and there are always people that have this issue, but I think, it seems to me, and I'm not very old, so I don't know, but that recently this issue is even more of an issue, perhaps because people are more public about it or the like. And in fact, for that reason, we, Be'ezras Hashem, are going to have a Yom Iyun on issues of Emunah by some of the world's experts on this topic right after winter break, which we'll discuss, hopefully, being mechazik our own Emunah, and also Dama Lahashiv, and how to respond to people that have questions and challenges of in matters of Emunah. But I thought we would start today with a discussion, especially today we'll focus on the Shita of the Rambam on Emunah. Yes?
When Rabbi said we're having a Yom Iyun, were you referring to the Yeshiva? Or
no, this class.
Oh, okay.
This class, but it's going to hopefully incorporate the first and second period, so it'll be for us, starting at 9 and going till 11:30, I guess. So that's Amir Toshem right after winter break. Okay, so what we're going to talk about, as I said today, is the Rambam's position on Emunah. We mentioned, I think at the beginning of the year, how the Rambam holds that there's a mitzvah of knowing God, Yediyas Hashem, and that's mandated by at least 5 different mitzvos, as he writes in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Gimel, the mitzvah of Anochi and Lo Yiyan, Shema Yisrael, and Avas Hashem, and Yir Shemayim. We also discussed again at the beginning of the year the Rambam's understanding that Maisa Merkava is a reference to philosophy, or what he calls the divine science. And we discussed our limitations in this respect, meaning to say that we're unable to fully understand God, or we can't comprehend his essence. I think we also talked a little bit about the importance of a correct conception of God. And today we'll try to elaborate on these ideas. So let's begin with the first source on the top right of page 1, which is the opening chapter of Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Yisod ha-yisodos ve'amud ha-chachma leida shiyesha matzui rishon. So the first, obviously, very noticeable word here is the word leida. It has to be a dia. We'll have to figure out what exactly that means. So a person must know that there's a matsui rishon, a first being, v'humamtzi kol nimtza, and he brought everything into existence, v'chol hanimtzaim mishamayim v'aretz u'masha beinehem, lo nimtzu ela me amitas himatzo, and all that exists, from heavens to earth and everything else, only exists because of the truth of his existence. So we'll also try to explain what that means. There are more source sheets floating around somewhere. So everything that exists only exists due to the truth of his existence. Bimyala aladas shehu eino matzoi, and if you were to imagine that God doesn't exist. Now, when he says this, he's not saying that you should actually imagine that. In a real sense, that would actually be a violation of lo yia. He's going to bring, as it were, proof to God's existence by showing that it would be impossible for him not to exist. So this is an exercise in proof. So if you were to imagine that he didn't exist, ein davar acher yachol himatzos, nothing else could exist. In other words, because all other existence depends upon his existence, so were he not to exist, so then nothing else could exist. V'im ya'aleh al hadas she'ein kol hanimtza milvado mitzuyim, hu levado yeh matzui v'lo yivatel hu levitulam. But if everything else were to not exist, he would still exist. In other words, their negation would not be caused by their negation would not cause his negation. In other words, what the Rambam is basically saying here is that God's existence is necessary as opposed to the existence of all other things. What do we mean by necessary? So when we use the term necessary, at least in the philosophical sense, we mean to say that it has to be this way, inconceivable otherwise, or other way. Some more modern philosophers like to put it, in all possible worlds it is such. And that's what the Rambam's saying over here. God's existence is necessary. All the existence of everything else is accidental. I happen to exist, but it just happens to be that way. It's conceivable that I wouldn't exist. In fact, there was a time that I didn't exist. And the Rambam over here is saying that God is different. God's existence is necessary. It's inconceivable otherwise. And therefore, while it's possible for all other things not to exist, it's impossible for him not to exist. And that's the idea that you must have. Why? So the Rambam continues. Shekol hanimtzayim tzrichin lo. All other existences require him. V'hu baruch hu eino tzarich lahem. But he doesn't rely on all other existences. V'lo lachad mehem. Right? So all other existences are contingent and dependent. They depend upon his existence. Whereas his existence does not depend upon the existence of anything else, because it's necessary. Lefikach ein amitaso ki amitas echad mehem. Therefore, his truth is not like their truth. What does that mean? Hu shanavi omer v'Hashem Elokim emes. Meaning, hu levado emes ve'ein emes ki amitaso. So, the truth of God's existence is not similar to the truth of anything else, because while it is true that I exist, that's an accidental truth. I happen to exist. It's not a necessary truth. I do actually exist. The Rambam is not claiming that nothing else exists. Things do exist, but they're not necessary existence. And that's what we mean, that's what the Rambam means when he says that ein emes kamitasam. One is a necessary truth, one is an accidental truth. My existence is an accidental truth. The existence of this table is an accidental truth. God's existence is a necessary truth. And that's what the Navi says. The Navi's saying that Hashem Elokim MS. What does it mean, MS? Hashem is MS. Doesn't mean he tells the truth. It's also true, Chos Moshal Kodesh Baruch Hu MS, but that's not the meaning of that pasuk. What that means is that his existence is necessary. And there's no other existence that's necessary like his existence. V'hu shatorah omeres ein od milvado. Likewise, the pasuk in the Torah says ein od milvado. There's nothing besides him. Kilomar ein sham matzui emes milvado kimoso. There is no other existent that is emes besides him, like him. Meaning to say, ein od milvado doesn't mean there's nothing else that exists. Like we said, other things do exist. It means that there's no other necessary existent. There's no true existent besides him. And in that sense, there's nothing besides him. Because while other things do exist, the existence of all other things is a dependent existence. It depends upon him. Whereas his existence is independent. So that's the first point that the Rambam says that a person must know. A person must know that God is a necessary existent. Rambam continues in describing God, and what we must know. Hamatzui hazeh, hu Elohah ha'olam, Adon kol haaretz. So this existent God is, in other words, right, it's important to some degree define what we mean. I believe in God, what's God? Now, we can't really define God, but to understand the mitzvah of emunah, we have to know what emunah in what, right? And that's what we're trying to do. Okay, perhaps the term emunah is incorrect. The Rambam used the term yediyah. We'll return to that in a moment. But colloquially, we call it emunah, and we're trying to figure out what that is. So this matzoi, right, this existent, is Eloha Olam. So he is the God of the world, which implies control, Adon Kol Haaretz. So he doesn't just exist. It's not just a necessary existence, but he's also the Adon, right, as the connotation of his name, at least as pronounced. V'hu amanhig ha-galgal, b'koach she'en lokeitz, v'lo tachlis. Note the word manhig, we're going to return to that shortly. So he is the manhig, the director, the guider, the force of the galgal, the sphere, with a koach that's infinite, that has no limits, b'koach she'en lo hefsek. Shagalgal sovev tamid, the sphere constantly revolves. The efshar shiyasuv below misavev, and it can't rotate without there being a rotator. Right? So here the Rambam is adding an element of proof, a proof to the existence of God. We'll elaborate upon this as well shortly. The idea that if the sphere is rotating, so there must be a source, a power, something that causes its rotation, because ef shar shi yasuv below misavev, v'hu baruch hu misavev oso, and it is God who is that misavev, below yad v'lo guf. God causes the sphere to revolve without any corporeality, without any physical aspect. And the Rambam concludes this section, v'yadiyas davar zeh, knowing this, what we've just said, all of what we just said, is a mitzvah saseh, shenemar, anochi Hashem Elokecha. So let's summarize what the Rambam has said in these first halachos. So number one, there's a first being, God. Number two, that he brought into being all existence. Maybe another time we could talk about... Actually, I hope we'll get to it today. Why he didn't use the word Bore over here. Why he didn't use the word Bore. And that's very significant, and we'll Rambam himself addresses that point in Mor Nevuchim. So we'll get back to that shortly. A number three, that, like we said, all other existences are contingent. They're dependent upon his existence. Not necessary. And then number four, the Rambam shows a number of psukim that highlight that idea. Hashem Elokim Emes, Ein Od Milvado. Number five, the opposite of that as well. If it could be supposed that he doesn't exist, nothing else could exist. And finally, and since we know things exist, so therefore he must exist. And finally, all of this, knowing all of this, is... knowing all of this is a mitzvah saseh of anochi. Now, it's actually an interesting question to think about. How does anochi Hashem Elokecha show this, right? There are a couple of issues. One is that it's not a formal tzivoy, which, if we have a chance today, we'll return to that question. Why is the mitzvah phrased Shalom Alashem Tzivoy? But leaving aside that issue, the Rambam does prove from Chazal, the Gemara Makos, that it's a mitzvah, right? The Gemara says Taryag Mitzvos Nemar L'Moshe Mishinai. It's actually Taryah 611. That's because Anochi Moyia were Mipia Gvura Amarum. We'll see how he understands that. He has a fascinating understanding of what that Gemara Makos means in Mar Nevuchim. We'll get there shortly. The Rambam, though, proves from there clearly Anochi is a mitzvah. You see it's counted among the Taryag mitzvos. But how do those words express what the Rambam has said over here? So the Rambam does not clarify that point. One way of understanding it might be that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, so Hashem, right, that tetragrammaton refers to God's eternal existence, HaYehovah V'yeh, as the Rambam, as the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch and the Rechaim Simen Hei Paskin. So Hashem, right, refers to the eternality, and also, so that refers to his necessary existence, and therefore, Anochi Hashem Elokecha demands of us that we believe in his necessary existence. The truth is that the Ramban on that pasuk elaborates. I didn't put this in your source sheets, but the Ramban elaborates. He agrees with the Rambam in his Pirshei LaTorah. In Sefer Mitzvos, he defends the view of the Bahag that Anochi isn't a mitzvah, but in his Pirshei LaTorah, he agrees with the Rambam that Anochi is a mitzvah. It's the mitzvah of Emunah, and he shows how that can be derived from the words of the Pasuk. I'll read it to you. It's a very important Ramban. It's Parak Chaf in Sefer Shmos, Halacha, Pasuk Aleph. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Adibur Azem Mitzvah Saseh, Amar Anochi Hashem, V'itzaveh Osam Shiyedu, V'yaminu. We'll return to that Lashon in a moment. Actually, I think I did include that later. Where? Page one, second column. Oh, yeah, but too little. Okay, you can take a look at there. Thank you. So just listen. Yorev Yitzavah Osam Shiedu V'yaminu. So we'll return to that Lashon in a minute. He has both Yediyah and Emunah. Kiyesh Hashem V'hu Elokim Lahem Kilomar Hove Kadmon Meito Haya Hakol B'cheifetz V'yecholas. V'hu Elokim Lahem. In other words, that's from the word Elokecha. Shechayavim La'avod Oso. V'amar Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim Ki Hotzasam Me'eretz Misham Torah Al Metzius V'alachefetz Ki B'yediyah U'vashkacha Mimenu Yatzu Misham V'gam Torah L'chidush Ki Im Kadmon Ha'olam Lo Yishtan Adavar Mitivo V'Torah L'yecholes V'yecholes Torah L'yichud K'mo Sh'amar Bavur Teidaki En Kamoni V'chol Aretz V'tam Asher Tzisicha Ki Hayodim Ve'edim B'chol Eila. Right, so the Ramban over here says how each word relates to these fundamental things that we must believe and know, right? Hashem refers to, like we said, his necessary existence, as he says, Kilomar Hove Kadmon Me'ito Hayakol, right? So he is an eternal existence, a necessary existence. That's what the word Hashem refers to, among other things, because of the spelling, which connotes HaYehovah V'yeh, as we pask in LaHalacha. It's machlokas, the Gra thinks, maybe. You only have to have that kavana of both Adon Kol and HaYehovah V'yeh and Shema. Other Rishonim say it's every time you say the Shem Hashem, but one way or the other, that's the meaning, the connotation of the Shem Havayah, as HaYehovah V'yeh, as necessary existence. And then Elokecha, the Ramban adds, is not just Elokim, but Elokecha, Elokim Lahem. In other words, Shechayavim La'avodo. So, this is an aspect that the Rambam didn't stress, at least over here. Elokecha is not just that I exist and am a necessary existence, but I am your Elokim, your Chayav to serve me. And what's actually very interesting is there's, in a sense, the Ramban over here says there's two reasons why we should serve him. Number one is just because he's God. And number two is, Asher Otzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avadim, meaning to say, I took you out of Egypt, I was koneh you in a certain sense. And that is another reason why you're chayav to serve him. And then we have Asher Otzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, which Ramban adds, proves not only that he exists and is a necessary existent, but it proves hashkacha and yediyah, interaction with the world. It proves Chiddush HaOlam, because even if you were to, I think we've mentioned before, if you were to accept the eternity of matter, as Aristotle claimed, so you could believe God is a necessary existent, but you wouldn't believe in his ability to interact with the world. So Asher Tzitzicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim proves that both Hashkacha and Bria and the like. And also, Beis Avadim adds that we have to be Oved him for that second reason, namely, not just that he's God, but also that he redeemed us, and as such we're Chayev L'Ovdo. So that's what we see in Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Yes?
We may have answered this, but what's the difference between Adam and Manhid?
Hopefully we'll get back to that. I didn't answer it yet. When we get to the Chazal that Rambam is coming from one of his sources, we'll try to address that. Yeah?
So, in the first paragraph, when the
Rambam... I mean, obviously, yeah. We'll get to it, yeah.
So in the first paragraph, when the Rambam says that the sphere rotates eternally, I didn't say that, rather, when the sphere rotates...
Right, the Rambam over there is obviously referring to his Aristotelian conception of the universe.
So does he believe in the eternity of
that,
the universe?
No, he doesn't, as he states explicitly. Now, it's a very good point. We're going to get there, as I told you. The Rambam writes this formulation in a way that allows for the proof to be valid, even for one who does believe in the eternity of the universe, and we'll get to that. The Rambam Mar Devuchim, we'll get there, explains why he uses that Lashon over here. But we'll return to that, Bezos Hashem. Okay, so the first thing we need to talk about is the word Yediya. The word Yediya. So the word Yediya implies that it's not enough to just believe, you have to know. And that involves some type of understanding. There are many reflections of that. First of all, the Rambam includes many of the basics in physics and metaphysics in the first four prakim of Mishneh Torah, because he believes that understanding these things is part of the mitzvah. Now, what does it mean that you have to know? Does that mean you have to have proof? You have to be able to prove it? Or, no, a person might know something with certainty, but still not be able to prove it. So, we'll see shortly. The Rambam does not maintain, he writes explicitly in the Mar Nevuchim, that proof is necessary for the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Certainty is necessary, but not proof. You can know something with certainty without being able to prove it. Proof for the Rambam is a very important part of the mitzvah, perhaps the best way to fulfill the mitzvah. But we'll return to that shortly. The question is, Rabbi Kahn mentioned this in his Musar Shmuz on Wednesday, the different formulation of the mitzvah in the Sefer HaMitzvos. So let's talk about that for a moment, because we have to figure out, is the mitzvah Yediya, or is it Emunah, or is it both? So if we take a look at the Sefer HaMitzvos, which you have here in your next source, the Sefer HaMitzvos is translated by Ibn Tibbon, Reb Shmuel Ibn Tibbon, who was the Rambam's preferred translator, uses the word La'amin, right? HaMitzvah Rishona Hi HaTzivoy Asher Tzivanu La'amin HaAlokuhus. That's the first mitzvah. Now we know, of course, though, that the Sefer HaMitzvos was written in Arabic. And the question is La'amin the correct translation? The Arabic word, by the way, is Itakad. I don't know if anyone here speaks Arabic. But the truth is that the word is could be correctly translated, presumably both as Leida and Le'amin. If you look, for example, at Rav Kapach's translation or Rav Chaim Heller's translation, both of them actually translate Itakad, not like Rav Shmuel Ibn Tibbon, but rather as Leda, which of course would make it consistent with what he says in the Mishnah Torah, also what he writes at the list of mitzvos at the very beginning of Mishnah Torah, which is also written in Hebrew. You have over here the next source, where he writes, a mitzvah rishonim in mitzvos asay leida sheyesham eloka, shenemar anochi Hashem elokecha. So it's reasonable to assume that the more correct translation is leida. That's the word that the Rambam uses in every other formulation, and is certainly consistent with the word itakad, which is why Rav Heller and Rav Kapach translate even Sefer HaMitzvos as Lahamin. Now, there's actually a very interesting pshat of the Rav. I don't know if this is the Pasha pshat in the Rambam, but he has an interesting take, and I think it's a very powerful and true point, regardless of what the Rambam means when he says Leida. Right? That's our question. What does Leida mean? What does Leida mean? So the Rav has a essay on this in Al Tshuva. It's on page 131. You have part of it over here. And the Rambam writes that Leida should not be understood as the obligation to philosophize. Leida does not mean that a person must philosophize in order to know that God exists. There's no mitzvah, or at least chovah, to be a philosopher, a theologian. So what does Leida mean? So the Rav says Leida means that we have to have a constant awareness of his existence. The way he puts it is a level of consciousness never marred by inattention. In other words, the way the Rav puts it is, if it just said l'ha'amin, so you're not in violation when you just have inattentiveness. L'ha'amin is violated by lack of faith, by not believing. Whereas Leida implies that a person, to use his words, be in a state, bottom right, in a state of perpetual affinity, of constant orientation. God should be a living reality that one cannot forget for a minute. This keen awareness of his existence should constitute the foundation of our thoughts, ideas, and emotions in every kind of situation, and under all conditions. Everything else inevitably depends upon this supreme article of faith. The Rav argues that we should understand the word Leida in the Rambam like the Pasuk, B'chol drachecha da'ehu. Da'ehu over there, Yidia, means a shenom in every way, which is a reference to, like he's saying, this constant consciousness of his existence, right? So how is it that that when the Rambam says Leida Shiesha Matsui Rishon Pumam Sikolan Imtsa, that implies that a person has to live with a constant awareness? So the Rav writes a little later, a man goes outdoors on a fair summer's day and sees the whole world blossoming. That man comes to know that there exists a primary being who is the originator of all that there is, in every budding flower, in every rose opening its petals, in every ray of light, and in every drop of rain. To know that there is a primary being, and that he is the originator of all that is. In other words, the Rav is trying to say over here that all of our encounters with the world around us, looking at nature, considering the providence in our lives, studying philosophy or history, all of them allows us to see and have that constant awareness of God's existence. Right, we know the word yidia has a number of connotations in the Hebrew language, right? It refers to love, right? Even intimacy. In the case of Avram Avinu, Yidatev Lamana Sheitzav Es Banav Ves Beso Acharav, which has that connotation of love. And is a, the Rav at least argues, that is part of the mitzvah of Yediyah that the Rambam says over here. And it's interesting, one of the things that the Rav points out over here is that this, because of this, it's not a mitzvah that's limited to philosophers and the like. This is a mitzvah that could be fully mekuyim by the educated and the uneducated, because every person is able to look at the world around them and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and feel his presence. Oh. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I apologize, I don't remember everything said, but I think with Tversky, Steltzu, this, he was running with the assumption that Ibn Tikvon was consistent in his translation across places in terms of how he used words. I don't remember what his proof was, but he found other scenarios in which he used a Lashon of Lahamin, which seemed a little weird, but it seemed to come out, perhaps also because of what the Rav said, that that's what, meaning Lahamin and Lay, that would essentially mean the same thing, that that's what Lahamin meant.
Right. When Ibn Tikvon uses the word Lahamin, it's not necessarily what we think of.
Yeah.
When?
Okay. I apologize, I don't remember. He proved it from somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Other Rishonim as well, like we just saw the Ramban, use both the language of Emunah and Yediyah. Again, maybe the Rambam as well. We saw the Ramban, who says that Anochi demands Yitzav Osam Shiyedu Via Aminu. There's an interesting pshat from Rav Shach on that Rambam in Avi Ezri, in Yesodei HaTorah. So he takes for granted, in light of the Ibn Tibbon translation, that there's both a mitzvah of Emunah and Yediyah. And says in general, besides even the Rambam, you know, the fact that Chazal and so many sources refer to Emunah, so it must be that there's both a mitzvah of Emunah and Yediyah. And the question that he addresses is, what room is there for Emunah if there also has to be Yediyah, right? What possible role could Emunah play if a person is already Yodea Shiesh Matsui Rishon? So Shach suggests that with respect to God's existence, so that is something about which we can and should have Yediyah. God's existence is intuitive, it's obvious, like we said before. Nothing else could account for the existence of a complex world if there wasn't the source for all other existences, so why would they exist? And that's something that we would say Yediyah is relevant to. So what's the role of Emunah? So Rashach writes that he once asked the Briska Rav the Shaila. Rashach used to go on walks with the Briska Rav, and he asked him the Shaila, like, what's the role of Emunah if there's already Yediyah? So the Briska Rav said, I asked my father that question as well. I was also always bothered by that question. And Reb Chaim answered that the idea is that Emunah begins where Yediyah ends. He also quotes that the Beis HaLevi says this idea. It's actually interesting. There's a famous quote from Reb Nachman of Breslov that "B'makom asher sham gvulo shel haseichel sham matchila haemuna." So Reb Chaim and Reb Nachman might be saying the same thing. But the question is, what exactly does that mean? That Emunah begins where Yediyah ends. So the way Rav Shach understood it, or maybe the way Rav Chaim understood it, was like this. Our minds are limited by time and space. So Yediyah is limited as well. With respect to God's existence, so that we could have Yediyah. With respect to his nature, which we can't understand, we're limited in our ability by definition, so then we have to have Emunah. In other words, there is both a mitzvah of Yediyah and Emunah. Yediyah is about what we could understand. We could know, for example, that he exists. And our belief is about the aspects of him which we can't know, and about which we might believe, we must believe. Perhaps along similar lines, you could say that there are certain things that we can know, or we could even prove. We'll talk about shortly how the Rambam maintains, and I think this is still true, that maybe we'll get to that next time, how this, you know, to the extent to which it exists in the modern world, but also we'll have the Yom Iyun on that. But the Rambam believes that his existence could be proven. But then there are times when even if we could prove, we could know, we could have the idea about his existence, there are things that we still need to believe. We only know them based off of emunah. A person who experiences, Rahmana Litzlan, incredible suffering, or sees the pain and suffering in others. So they might have to have emunah in God's justice, in God's compassion and the like, because they see things that seem to contradict that. And that is the role of emunah. So with respect to certain things, a person could have the idea that he exists. With respect to other things, and these might change from person to person and place to place, but there might be things, there might be a person who can't have yidia about God's justice and mercy and the like, in which case he'll have to have emunah. And both of them are necessary. Along similar lines, you could add the following. The Rambam writes that there are certain things that can be proven, like we said, for example, his existence. And then there are certain things that can't be proven, but we must believe in. For example, the Rambam writes that when it comes to the truth, the veracity of Torah Misinai, so this can't be philosophically proven. The Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah explains that in the 8th chapter, how do we know about the veracity of Torah Moshe? So he gives a very different answer than how we know about the veracity, the truth of God's existence. God's existence, as we saw in Mishnah Torah, he explains it very briefly. In a couple of places, a basic proof for God, a form of a teleological proof. But in when it comes to Torah Misinai, so he says, how do we know that? And he explains basically that that was based off of Maamad Har Sinai, and then the transmission. So that's a different type of proof. It can't. It's not a philosophical proof. You can't philosophically prove God's existence. I'm sorry, God's Maamad Har Sinai. Now, and therefore the term emunah is appropriate. Emunah doesn't necessarily imply that this is like an irrational belief. No. The Rambam thinks it's very rational to believe in Torah Misinai. In fact, it's the only rational possible position. It just can't be proven as such. It can't be called yedia. It can't be proven in a philosophical sense. You can know it with certainty. Right? Lamashal. No. It's very rational to believe a person named George Washington once existed and was the first president of the United States. Now, that can't be philosophically proven, but it's certainly a rational belief, right? There's so much evidence that he existed and was the first president, that historical evidence and all sorts of other types of evidence. It's certainly a rational belief. A fool would deny it. But it can't be proven in a philosophical sense. The Rambam says that the same thing is true with respect to a number of things. The Rambam, for example, we'll see shortly, says that's true with respect to Brias HaOlam. Right? Brias HaOlam, the Rambam writes in Ma'on Avuchim, cannot be proven. God's existence, his oneness, his things like that can be proven philosophically. His creation of the world is the most compelling explanation for how the world came into existence. But he argues it cannot be definitively proven in the same philosophical way. It's something that a Jew must believe. It's part of the Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah. But it's not something that could be proven. Like we said before, the same thing is true about Torah Misinai. So it's another way to explain the usage of the word within the Rambam, even perhaps, of both Yediyah and Emunah. The Rambam implies that with respect to the first four Ikari Emunah, these things could be proven. And with respect to the latter nine, again, a Jew must believe in them. You're a kofir if you don't. But it's not, these aren't things that could be proven. You can't prove Tchiyas HaMesim. You must be maimin in Tchiyas HaMesim. Truth is, even part of the like caveats of the first four can't be proven either. Like the Rambam, at least in the later printings of the Ikarim Muna, the later printings of the Perashat Mishnayos, he does include Priyasa Olam in the first four Ikari Emuna, but so maybe even parts of the first four can't be proven, but the basics of the first four could definitely be proven according to the Rambam. The fifth, by the way, we didn't include even in a prohibition against idolatry, and that's because the Rambam understands that the focus of the Isra Avodah Zarah is not actually a rejection of idolatry as much as the prohibition against using intermediaries in the service of God. We'll get to that another time. Fine. So that might be the pshat in the mitzvah of emuna as well as yediyah. Now, until this point, well, let's say it like this. You know, is there a value in proof? We've talked a lot about proof. Let's talk about proof for the existence of God, for example. Is there value of proof for the person who already believes? Right? I mean, say, for example, the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, you have it on the left column in the middle of the page, talks about how Avraham Avinu first came to discover God. We read this, I think, once before. Where it's bolded, Kevan Shenigmal Eitan Zeh Hischil Shotet B'Da'ato V'Ukatan V'Hischil Lachshov B'Yom V'Alayla V'Haya Tameya He'ach Efshar Shia Galgal Hazeh Noheg Tamid. Again, Noheg Tamid, by the way. V'Lo Yeh Lo Manhig V'Lo Yisavev Oso Ki Efshar Shisavev Esatzmo. Right, which is basically the same argument that he said in the beginning of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. It's one of Rambam's four proofs for the existence of God that he elaborates upon in Mar Nevuchim. We'll hopefully see that shortly. So the Rambam writes about how Avraham Avinu discovers God through this philosophical argument, the teleological proof. Again, we'll try to explain a little more what Rambam means. But the question is that important only for the person who is a non-believer, like Avram initially was, who comes to belief in God based off of this proof, or someone who already believes. So is there a value in their seeking proof? Or perhaps there's no point. After all, they are already a maimon. So a number of Rishonim, though this matter is certainly debated, but a number of Rishonim certainly emphatically maintain that there's tremendous value in seeking proof even for someone who already believes, if they're capable of doing so. Rabbeinu Bachya and Chovos Halvavos at the beginning in his Hakdama writes that it would really show a lack of zeal if someone relies on tradition alone when they're capable of rational demonstration, and therefore the Chovos Halvavos in the first Shar, which is Shar HaYichud, he proves the existence of God philosophically, and then in the second Shar, the Shar HaBechina, he shows how he could see God's existence from the universe and science and the like. And he writes that someone who doesn't consider these matters is really lacking in their fulfillment of the mitzvah. So it's not just, you know, as we saw from Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, it's not just Avraham Avinu for whom this was important, but it's really everybody who, at least if they're able to do so, must do so. It's interesting, mentioned the Rambam's proof. So in the Mor Nevuchim, he writes that that proof of Avram Avinu was passed down to Yitzchak and to Yaakov, but was forgotten during the enslavement in Egypt. And after they came out of Egypt, therefore, Hashem said that it's important to establish mitzvos in addition to philosophical proof to maintain belief. And that's one of the reasons for so many mitzvos, especially those that are Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. So we have mitzvos as well. So that's what the Rambam writes. So what is exactly Rambam saying over here? So it's interesting. It's interesting. If you look at the bottom left of page one, what the Rambam says in terms of how Avram Avinu discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already in a medrash. This one is from Bereishis Rabbah. Though it's interesting to consider some differences here. So the medrash is like this: Amar Yitzchak, Mashal le'achad, Shaya over mimakom lemakom, v'ra bira achas dolakas. So a person was going from place to place, and he sees an illuminated palace. It's interesting, actually. You could define the word dolakas in two ways. It could be illuminated, like there was a light on inside. Or you could read it also as it was on fire. Either way, I think, I guess you could ask, you know, what does this add to the proof, right? If the whole proof is Yafshar Labira Beli Bore or Beli Manhe, so there can't be this building if there wasn't a builder, right? If that was the whole proof. So why is it important that the bira is dolakas? And the answer is very important, which is that we're not just proving over here the existence of God, but that he is the manhig, as we're about to read. What Avraham Avinu discovers is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the manhig, and the dolakas evidence is that. If we assume, which I think is probably the easier read, that dolakas means illuminated, right? So in other words, Hashem didn't just make this bira, but Hashem illuminates the bira. He continues to be involved. But the same connotation would emerge if you say it's on fire, right? Either way, the point is that the Medrash is highlighting it's not just that there's a bira, but there's a bira dolakas. It's not just that God is the watchmaker that's removed, but it's dolakas. So anyway, this person is walking by. He's over mimakom lemakom. But that's also, I think, a significant ta'ara. You know, why does it say he's going from place to place? Right? I think I once heard from Ravan Lapiansky that's the yesod. That's where Avram, where the Rambam, as we saw earlier, gets the idea of the journey of Avram Avinu. Right? That Avram Avinu, this medrash is describing Avram Avinu's mission and his journey, right? So as we saw from the Rambam, it's not that Avram Avinu just woke up one day and discovered God, had an epiphany, but he was searching and searching for years and years, asking, wondering, groping, right? And that's the nuance here in the mashal of the person who was over mimakom lamakom. He was going from place to place, right? He was looking, he was searching. He sees the bira dolakas mitoch his search. It's through the search that he discovers this bira dolakas, and he says, "Amar, tomar shabira zu below manig." Could it be that this bira doesn't have a manig? Again, very significant. It doesn't just use the word bore, but manig, which tells us something so much more. And as we noted, the Rambam also stresses the word manig in the Mishnah Torah. Hates its Allah of Baal HaBira. When he asked this question, so the Baal HaBira looks at him. Amalo aniu Baal HaBira. I am the Baal HaBira. Kach, lefishai Avram Avinu Omer, tomar sha'olam azebelo manhig. Because Avram asked that question, so hates its Allah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, amalo anihu Baal HaOlam. Now this is another very important point here. I guess today we don't have it time to discuss it, maybe next week, especially if we have a chance to be ma'ayan in the Shita the Kuzari. But first we have, you know, step one, which is the search and the proof. But then we have step two, which is the interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the encounter. Heitzitz Allah Baal Habira. And that is very significant as well. That's an idea that we're going to see that Kuzari stresses a lot, which is that the person who knows of God's existence entirely based off of philosophical proof will be incredibly lacking, because while you'll have philosophical knowledge, you won't have a relationship. And that the Medrash, I don't think the Kuzari quotes the Medrash, but the Yesod that he explains is really emerges from the Medrash, which is that it's important to not just to stop with the proof, but to cultivate that relationship as Avram Avinu did. Anyway, the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim writes in Chelak Beis Perek Yotes that you find many of the prophets making the same argument that Avram Avinu discovered. For example, Yeshayahu says, looking up at the heavens and seeing God's existence. And therefore, the Rambam and the Chovos Halvavos and many of the other Rishonim write that it's important for the person who already believes to continue to strengthen their belief through evidence, through arguments, whether it's philosophy, science, history, and the like, to be mechazek their emunah. And the Rambam writes a fascinating thing, which is really a tremendous idea. In fact, very briefly, at least introduce it now, which is that the difference between somebody who knows something firsthand, who can prove it, versus something that was transmitted through an intermediary. And this is how the Rambam, page 2, on the right column, this is from the Mor Nevuchim explaining Maimad Har Sinai. So the Rambam writes that is the difference between Anochi and Lo Yia versus all the other mitzvos. We know that, like the Gemara in Mako says, that there are Taryag mitzvos, 611 are from Moshe, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Torah and Gematria of 611. So we know 611 of the mitzvos through Moshe, but the first two, Anochi and Lo Yia, Mipi HaGevurah Shmanum. So what does that mean? So I think the classical understanding of that is it means that there was direct prophecy that all the Jewish people experienced prophetically. They heard the first two Dibros, the way Rashi understands it. We'll see the Rambam doesn't explain it that way, among other things, because the Rambam believes that prophecy is by definition impossible for someone who's unworthy of being a prophet, and therefore it's inconceivable that that we experienced direct prophecy at Ma'amad Har Sinai, men, women, and children, not pitom. Not everybody is growing for prophecy. There are a number of Rishonim who fundamentally agree to the idea of the Rambam that you need to be on a very high level to receive prophecy. You know, the Gemara Nedarim says, "Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Mashir Shchinaso Al Chacham Gibor Ashir Anav V'Chulam Imosha." But the other Rishonim, the Ran, the Sefer Ikrim, Benu Kereskes, all say that Ma'amad Har Sinai was an exception to that. Once in history, everybody experienced direct prophecy. The Rambam, though, let's figure out, I guess next time perhaps, how that relates to what he writes in Perek Ches of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. But the Rambam writes over here in Mor Nevuchim that that's impossible. In Mor Nevuchim, he writes that, this is in Chelek Beis, Perek Lamed Beis, Hapisiyim me'al me'aretz ief shar zetz leinu, they can't experience prophecy, ratzalomar shi naveh achad mehem, ela ke'efsharus hi naveh chamor o tfardeya. The notion that an Amaretz could receive prophecy is absurd as the idea that a donkey or a frog could receive prophecy. Okay? What about Bilam's donkey? This also wasn't prophecy. So what does it mean then when Chazal tell us that Anochi and Eliyam are Mepiyad Vurashmanum, and what the Rambam says basically, we'll read it inside in just a moment though, is that the first two commandments, namely God's existence and his unity, can be derived independently using logic. And in that sense, our knowledge of them is exactly equivalent to that of Moshe's, because it's direct. Knowledge that is direct, whether that's directly through Nevuah or directly through prophecy, is qualitatively different than knowledge of something that you find out indirectly. It's Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, because all the other 611 mitzvos we know through an intermediary. We know through Moshe. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. But Anochi and Eliyah, his unity and his unity and his existence, we know directly. In the same way as Moshe knew anything. It's the same way as a prophet. It's direct knowledge. Agav, the Ramer Simcha says that this answers the Ramban's kasha on that Rambam. The Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvos asks, if the pshat in the Rambam, if the pshat in Chazal is literal, right, that Anochi and Eliyah are Mepi Agvuram, and that's what the Gemara means in Makos, so the Rambam counts in Anochi and Eliyah five mitzvos, right? Five mitzvos. So if so, it's not Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, it's not that the two were from God and 611 were from Moshe. Rather, it should be 609 were from Moshe. I need to work on my math. 608. And, oh my gosh, let me turn this thing off. How 608 should be from Moshe, right? So, that's the Shaila, right? So the answer is no. The Rambam doesn't mean the words of Anochi and Eliyah. It means the Yisod of Anochi and Eliyah, like he says. It's God's existence and his unity. That's what he writes in Mordechai. Let's read it inside. I guess we won't read it inside. It's 11:30. But we'll take a look at it inside. We'll try to explain it next week. And further be ma'ayin and shitas haramba manamuna. We should note, I guess, before leaving, that this is the Rambam writes we can't really understand what happened fully at Mamad Har Sinai, and it's very important to recognize our limitations in doing so when we study this passage in Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam writes that people who think that they could understand, that's what the pasuk says about Mamad Har Sinai, pen yifrotz bam. Right, that people could try to go too far in understanding, asking questions that they're not ready to understand the answers to. They don't recognize and accept their own limitations, and that could cause a pirtza. So one has to be tread very carefully in trying to understand this. So Be'ezus Hashem, next week we'll continue in trying to understand the Rambam's perspective on the mitzvah of emunah. And the like. Okay, have a Freilich and Chanukah, Shabbos, and we'll pick up next week.